is GKW, a special Saturday after WrestleMania edition of GKW. I'm Gabe Meltzer from ESPN Milwaukee, from ESPN West Palm, but live in Las Vegas for WrestleMania, probably on no hours of sleep because he just, every time I open up Twitter, I see he's at a different show. He's probably enjoyed a lot of those more than he did tonight. We'll have to wait and see. Brian Rhodes, and catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Also listen to him tomorrow morning, Busted Open Radio, 9 to noon on Sirius XM. All right, boys, half of WrestleMania in the books. 7 matches tonight. Let's start with the main event, because that is the shocker of the evening, as Paul Heyman turns his back on not just Roman Reigns, but CM Punk to align himself with Seth Rollins as Seth walks out the winner of the main event of night one of WrestleMania. We talked about this as a possibility, but seeing it actually happen and Paul Heyman going low on both of his guys, how do you feel about the main event of night one of WrestleMania?
Well, first of all, I didn't know that the main event would be all over the place. We knew it was a three-way dance, but it got into the crowd. It got physical. And it was actually more than I thought it was going to be between the three. But the culmination of Paul Heyman not only turning on his guy CM Punk, but also turning on the Tribal Chief at the same time, a double punch to the nuts, and then going to Seth Rollins is not how exactly I thought it was going to be. But you saw the breadcrumbs leading into this, guys. We knew that Seth Rollins, because his promos have been better, he's been probably the best out of these three as far as the promos are concerned in promoting this matchup. Seth Rollins now is the guy for Paul Heyman. And Brian, we kind of knew this was going to happen, and it does happen. Seth Rollins is empowered and now a Paul Heyman guy.
Paul Heyman is the GOAT. There's no way around it. Like, everything he did, all the little pieces, the emotion, all that sort of stuff, like we said, we've talked about it for weeks, and hey, this might be a possibility. But the way that match, the intensity, the way it delivered, I think that sort of took it to another level. We were all sort of down on the triple threat idea, but those three delivered tonight. Like the Shield powerbomb and not doing the powerbomb, the stealing finishers. That was a damn good main event tonight.
Yeah, I thought the main event was good. I'm still skeptical of Paul aligning with Seth. I'm willing to give it to see where it goes, if there's anything coming, you know, coming down the pipe. But I also, I guess, I look at this as, I mean, CM Punk's probably going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting here, because I'm assuming we're not going to see Roman for quite some time, because that's been the Roman Reigns schedule, right? He shows up for Mania, he shows up for the lead up to WrestleMania, and then he goes absent for a little bit after Mania, like he did last year. So unless he shows up on Monday night on Raw or the following Friday on SmackDown, like, this is going to be a lot in CM Punk to be the guy. But we've already kind of seen, Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. And I guess I'm not ready for the rematch, just because I don't know what CM Punk has left. We've talked about this since he returned from AEW, and WWE has done a much better job of keeping him special. Where in AEW, he was wrestling on Collision and Rampage and Dynamite, and he was just doing it all. And they've done a better job of keeping his in-ring appearances special, which is how you keep him healthy. But at the same time, like, we've seen Seth Rollins and CM Punk. I know this is a little different dynamic because now, you know, Paul Heyman's with Seth Rollins. I guess I'm just ready for CM Punk to move on to something different, but obviously that's not going to be the case because he's the only one who's betrayed tonight who's probably going to be around for the next 2 months.
I'll throw a curveball there. What if it's Punk and Roman both taking time off and Rollins starts chasing Jey Uso, eventually wins that title, and the next time we see Punk Rollins, it's with a title involved?
I mean, so Jay's going to have the title for a month?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, again, the Mr. Anti, you know, Mr. Anti Samoan wrestler over here. Jay just won the title in probably the moment of the night, and he's already given it away.
It was a great moment, but not every title run needs to be a year and a half. So,
Anti Samoan, that's different for 2025. Completely different.
This is the same guy that still has the tile in there of "Are we sick of Roman yet?" Like, it's still in there, you know. So he's just slowly. I don't know who's next. I don't know if Jimmy's next. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's sick of Jacob Fatu's U.S. title reign. He's had the title for too long.
I would just tell you that I really love what I saw tonight at the end, because we all wondered on the show here on GKW, what is Seth Rollins? Who is Seth Rollins? Because he wears his wife's outfits and he's got the cackle. Well, now it's clearly defined who Seth Rollins is. Seth Rollins is not a Shield guy. He's a Paul Heyman guy. And I think that that gives you like an off ramp for something new for Seth Rollins. And so now he's a guy with power. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I don't mind a rivalry. If we didn't mind Drew McIntyre against CM Punk or some of the other long storylines, if I'd like to see Seth Rollins against CM Punk. And as you mentioned, Gabe, it's a different dynamic only because now Seth Rollins is on the side of Paul Heyman. And so now we start to have that whole question of why Paul, why? And so now he's got to explain that to CM Punk. And now we get to that. And then Roman Reigns is going to be somewhere in this at some point. But I have no problem with Rollins and Punk. And one of the major reasons is because it was Seth Rollins in the match that was telling Roman Reigns, hey, man, it's not about him. It's about us. We were here first. He was the outside. Let's get after him. And Roman didn't want to have any part of it. So Seth Rollins said, okay, I'll take care of this myself. A whole different kind of character in Seth Rollins I thought we saw tonight.
I mean, I will say this. Paul being – something feels right in the world with Paul being a heel. Like he'd been a baby face for what the last, I mean, when did he get powerbombed through the table by, you know, by the old blood or the new bloodline? I mean, what, 8 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, babyface Paul had a hell of a run, Paul, but we all know where you belong. You belong on the heel side. Right. So that does feel right. That feels right to me. And Seth, we know Seth can be a hell of a heel, but I guess, again, I mean, my mileage may vary. Maybe they can make it more interesting. I had enough of Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. I'm ready to see CM Punk do something different, because that's the thing. Like, this is going to drag on till at least SummerSlam. If CM Punk's going to be there, I mean, that's a long time. And no offense to Seth, but Drew McIntyre has made a lot of feuds a lot more interesting than Seth has.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that's why if he's taking time off and then the title aspect of it, like there's only so many guys that would make sense for Punk. There's no one on that roster right now, top of my head, that I look at and say, oh, I want to see Punk in this person. Like it is Rollins. Who else is there even for him?
And it's personal. And the reason why it works is because it's personal. Like there's actually a story there of Rollins and Punk having heat with one another. It's right there. I mean, so you don't turn a blind eye to it to say, okay, now Punk, you take on Jacob Fatu. Well, I mean, it's right there in front of you.
No, but we already kind of
You got to explain it though. It's like if you're with the Heyman thing, he's got to explain why he turned on Punk, and so the story's there until it isn't.
I guess I thought that we had already run the course of that story, because to me it was even flimsy of them really hating each other, and they didn't necessarily play into that fact. I mean, again, it was Seth trying to play into that fact with Roman, but not necessarily playing into that against Punk. The personal stuff, it felt like it kind of been resolved that Punk came out on top, but if they're going to extend it with Paul Heyman, then obviously that's the direction they're going. Now, again, if he's taking time off, all right, I think that can make this more interesting if Punk's going to be gone for a little bit. But if we're just going to get right back into Seth Rollins versus Punk, I think they're going to have to do – Hunter's going to have to work pretty hard, I think, to make it as special as it should be, because you're trying to reheat something that had already kind of died.
Yeah, but the new personal stuff is Punk has made it very known how important Paul Heyman is to him. It's the one guy he trusts, and he's normally a not trustworthy guy. And Rollins took him from him, and, like, that's the new personal aspect to it.
Yeah, we're not getting Heyman against Punk. At least as far as I know. Under Vince, maybe you get that, but you're not getting that. So it's going to have to be Rollins and Punk.
Yeah,
and by the way, and it will deliver once again in the ring, one-on-one.
Well, into the ring. But yeah, I guess I'm curious about the story. I don't know if the story will actually deliver. I'm skeptical. And maybe I'll be wrong. I'm very open to being wrong. I'm skeptical. This, you know, when we had brought this up, I was skeptical of when we brought it up. I'm a little worried about that.
Brian, what was the crowd like for the introductions for the main event?
The main event was that they were into everything, from the entrances to every little swerve to the near finishes. They were eating up that main event.
Yeah. You get Punk not happy, clearly, right now. Not happy because his best friend, remember how it was billed, his best friend, Paul Heyman, turned on him. So that should be interesting to see in the next couple of weeks how this works out, starting with Monday Night Raw, I would imagine.
We go from the main event. I say we go to the opener, because I got to imagine that was when the arena was most electric, Brian, when everybody was yeeting all over the place and Jey Uso was on his way to the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that match, it delivered. I had the note written down, thanks for it, Hood, a few weeks ago, that the Jimmy Uso match was better. But this is a very good match tonight. Those two delivered. It was fun. I didn't love Gunther tapping at the end, but it was the WrestleMania moment that you're looking for at WrestleMania.
Well, when he went to the choke, I was shocked when he went for Gunther's choke. So I thought that they were going to protect Gunther by just having him pass out. And the fact that he tapped, again, really cool moment for Jey, and kind of a surprising end to something that I feel a lot of people saw coming, just because of the build to it and the way that Jey had been kind of talked about by brass, I would say, in interviews outside of, you know, WWE television, and even by Paul Heyman. Like, Paul in an interview was pointing out about how Jey's a top merchandise seller and a top ticket mover and all those sorts of things. And if you were paying attention to a lot of the different media happening around WrestleMania, I don't think that was a shock to you. But again, this match going first, I think, almost telegraphed that, okay, we're going to get this thing started off with a really exciting start, get the crowd into it, and see if we can keep that momentum going. And yeah, again, the match delivered. Gunther played his role perfectly, and someone still needs to teach Jey that when you spear someone, you're not supposed to land on your feet. But, you know, once we get past that, that's the nitpicking thing, right? Like, if you want to nitpick it, it's the spears that Jey gives. But other than that, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's a great way to start the pay-per-view. Brian, you could tell us, because you were there, out of the quote-unquote 61,000 people there, how many were yeeting?
How many? About 60,000. There was a small part of the match where it was quiet when they started the Gunther chant, and that got drowned out right away. So maybe some of the Europeans were pulling for Gunther here.
I was about to say that's got to be the European contingent, right?
Yeah, the 2% vote was heard from, or not heard from in this case. But I thought it was a great way to start the pay-per-view. Uso used the Gunther playbook, actually, to be able to win the match. The stuff that Gunther put on him, he put on Gunther. Quick tap out, indeed. But I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, if someone splashes me 3 times and I lose my breath and I can't breathe, now I got a choke, as Cole called it, a choke, not a sleeper, a choke, he called it. Then Gunther is like, okay, that's enough. I've had enough. So, I mean, we knew what was going to happen there. Just happy for Jey Uso. But you know what happens, guys? You're like this white meat baby face, number one or two in merch, and finally you're the champion. You're not chasing anymore. Now what does it look like with U.S. champion? You have an LA Knight run, or do you have a significant run? That's the question.
Yeah, and it's always tough, right? Like, I'm sure at Backlash they'll get, again, for Cody last year, it was AJ Styles, right? You find yourself a former champion, and that seems like a legit threat just to kind of start the championship reign off on the right foot. And then you start trying to see if you can roll from there. And that is the tough part. Cause I would, and I think we said it at the time, Cody's defense of his championship got off to a slow start. It just did, because it's such a hard thing to do. I would say the same thing from Bryan Danielson, you know, from 11 years ago at WrestleMania 30, when Daniel Bryan, I guess, in WWE, but when he won after WrestleMania 30, and yes, his reign was cut short because of injury, but even after it, WrestleMania was such a high. It was just so hard to try to be able to match that. And it's the same thing with Jey. Tonight is going to be such a high. And it's such a challenge when you're that babyface to find a way to find stories and opponents that are going to be able to match that or even get close to that. That is going to be the tough part going forward. But that does not take away from tonight or the run that Jey Uso's had in the last year.
We take a look at Tiffany Stratton against Charlotte Flair for the Women's World Championship. So we knew there was going to be a tussle at first, because you got to pay off some of the issues that they've had in this rivalry. And then it ended up being a hell of a wrestling match between the two.
Yeah, you can't start that with an elbow and collar tie-up. And they started it the correct way.
Like Gunther and Uso. Like, are you guys going to wrestle or what? It's the first match. Let's go. So it's a good point.
I throw out this Stratton result will be the most surprising of the weekend. Like, from the minute Charlotte won the Rumble, we're like, and then they announced it was going to be her and Tiffany. We're like, okay, Charlotte's going to become a champion once again. pretty surprising to see it go the other way.
Yeah, and with really no, I mean, to do it clean, right? Like, it was just clean. That, like, that's I would say another surprising thing, because I would not put it past WWE to try to do, like, a switch in the middle of the match, right? Like, have Tiffy try to win some underhanded way to try to get the support behind Charlotte, because clearly they wanted the support behind Charlotte when she came back, and maybe that would be a way to do it. But they just decided to go with Tiffany Stratton. And I wish the ending of the match was just a little cleaner. Some fatigue was starting to set in, I think, at the end. But I would say the first three quarters was fantastic. And it just, I think I'm with Hood. I think it delivered, especially sometimes when you have these heated rivalries that happen and heat up so quickly, it can, you know, you just start off the match the wrong way, or he doesn't have the right feel. This had the right feel. Again, wasn't the cleanest at the end, but it still had the right feel all the way through.
Yeah, I Brian, we appreciate you being here. I know that you won't be part of the press conference because the CERT world champion that's taking the podium. So I know you're going to skip. He's going to skip that part. He's going to skip
I didn't even think about this. How many beers has he had?
Yeah, that was a long time ago, that match.
He was on first. He was on first. We know he can't, like, him and, if it's anything like when him and Cody won, I apologize to Brian because you're missing an all-time classic.
No, also, you don't want to talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I've seen ads around town, him, Jimmy, and Machine Gun Kelly hosting an after party tonight. So,
oh, my God.
I don't know if we're going to see Jay on Monday. He might still be recovering. Might see a SmackDown thing.
I guess the whole bottom line for Tiffany and Charlotte is that Tiffy proved that she could hang with a future Hall of Famer. There was a lot of communication. Brian, you were there. There was a lot of communication at the end of how to end this thing. If you notice, a little bit of a tussle, just like, okay, what's the finish? How do we finish this? But, I mean, a little bit of a miscommunication, but finally Tiffy was able to get it done.
Second longest match of the night. They went nearly 20 minutes, those two.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still not as long as the entrances for the, you know, the last match of the night, but, you know, good for that. I will tell you what, the other women's match tonight, Jade Cargill, man, like the growth, like she deserves all the flowers. When this is, I think, something that we've been waiting for on this show.
Yep.
Everybody knows that Jade Cargill is a star, but even going back to her days in AEW, we were all, okay, come on, it's got to catch up. The in-ring stuff has got to catch up. And I don't know if it was the time off, if she was just grinding away, you know, while she was selling the injury at the Performance Center. But this was far and away Jade Cargill's best in-ring match I have ever seen from her, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's about time. Probably the best I've seen from her since her last match against Chris Statlander in AEW. Remember that she was
That was pretty good.
And so it's like, well, and we saw that match and we talked about it afterwards. Like, where's that been from Jade? And by the way, we were a little concerned, right? Jade hasn't had a lot of singles time in WWE. And I thought that her matchup against Naomi was the best that she's been. I guess my question is for Naomi is like, where do you go from here? Like, you don't get any comeuppance at all, or?
That's why I was wondering if she would win just to kind of continue the feud, get past WrestleMania, maybe fold in Bianca Belair, you know, with whatever happens tomorrow night with the triple threat. But either way, like this might have been my favorite match of the night, like in terms of the way everything like went, the way that everything delivered, like, and maybe because my expectations weren't super high, but I came away probably most satisfied with the in-ring work of that match. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, they obviously saw something with her time away where they're like, all right, she's ready, because this was a historic match, like a women's match, no title involved, no pillow fights involved. It was just a straight up story match, and it delivered. They obviously saw something with Jade to the point when, remember when her and Bianca got together, we're like, well, we're not ready yet. Like, we're not ready yet. She's ready. That was a hell of a performance from her tonight.
As far as a matchup that surprised me, and it probably shouldn't have, of talking about two veterans, Jacob Fatu against LA Knight for the United States Championship. Surprisingly good. Fatu, I tell you what, so I'm really impressed by him, obviously, but LA Knight also showed his way. He showed me some moves I hadn't seen before, but I thought that this matchup was really delivered. Again, on paper, he's like, okay, good match. But I think what happened with Jacob is he wasn't the Samoan Savage. He was a pro wrestler in this matchup.
Well, we've known for a while that he can go. So I think, you know, again, I thought it was good. I'm curious what happens for LA now. What if he's done with the US title? Does he pursue other things? Does he try to get a rematch? What happens with the rest of the new bloodline in terms of now Jacob has this US title? Is Solo going to turn on him, make a try to run at him? Like, I think the possibilities for Fatu are endless. I'm curious what's next for LA Knight.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to sell merch. He's going to get reactions. But, like, Fatu, you have a star there. Like, that's someone that if you told me a year from now he's main event in New Orleans, I don't think that's a crazy statement.
It doesn't hurt LA Knight either. I think 42 days as champion. So he's still one of the top guys in merch and still very popular. So it's like, but good for Jacob Fatu. Good to see Haku out there. You know, after the matchup, very good to see the toughest guy in WWE that's not wrestling. So good to see him out there in his salt and pepper hair.
No, like bro had said, I mean, Fatu is a star, and like, honestly, it's always fun when you take a look at some of the mid-card guys and then you start booking them out in the future. Like, whenever they decide to do Jacob Fatu versus Bron Breakker for the world title, like, yeah, sign me up. I can't wait for that. I'm ready for that already, even though they're just the two mid-card title holders right now. And who knows what happens tomorrow night with Bron, but, like, that's one of the fun things you can start booking out in the future. Okay. They've got some, and again, Fatu's not a younger guy, right? He's more of a veteran at this point, where Bron is still very young and one of the guys under 30 on this roster. But Fatu's still new to WWE, so you can kind of start seeing, okay, they're going to trust him. They're going to see what he can do with this U.S. title run. And if he delivers, I think some big things could still potentially be in his future.
I'm surprised, Gabe, that you actually watched the rest of WrestleMania after the El Grande Americano Rey Fenix match. I'm surprised that you actually continue to watch after Rey Fenix, fresh to the company, loses against the upstart El Grande Americano.
I mean, you know, it's unfortunately, it's just, I mean, I'm used to this with Rey, right? Like, nobody knows how to book Rey. You have the best wrestler on the freaking planet on your roster. You get him as a replacement in, and you can't even book him to win a match. Can't have him win his first WrestleMania match. Again, I was hoping, Brian obviously read my mind, I was hoping for an Undertaker-type undefeated streak for Rey Fenix at WrestleMania, but they blow that right out of the gate. They blow that right out of the gate with him losing to El Grande Americano. Underhanded tactics, too, by the way, with the metal plate in the mask. You know, especially
you can't get 20-0 without 1-0, so it's tough.
Can someone explain to me, on the day in which you announce, you buy an incredibly popular Mexican wrestling promotion, you have the fake luchador win.
Well, clearly, I think WWE is going to make El Grande Americano the top star for When Worlds Collide. We'll have full coverage there, by the way. We'll already have tickets punched for LA. We'll be out there covering that. So it's all good, man. They want to set up the new AAA. So Americano's gonna be at the top of the card.
He will be a hell of a heel if they send him to Mexico. I feel like that'll go over well there.
Well, I mean, he's got to be better than Alberto Del Rio. So
we might get to see him again.
Who's,
I believe
who's by the way back under the WWE umbrella. Yeah.
I believe he's our world champ.
That would be a future endeavor very quickly. Right. Oh, he's there? Oh, no. Oh, no.
I noticed he didn't get the picture with Triple H the way Vikingo did. Again, maybe he had other commitments tonight. I'm not sure, but I found that curious that Vikingo was the one that was getting a lot of the, oh, hey, look who we have now instead of Alberto. But maybe there's just that was a coincidence. I don't know.
Hey, you're an asshole. We're going to strip you. How about that, Triple H? Hey, we just bought this company.
Did you see him in Vegas? Was he in IndyCars?
No, I didn't see him in any. There were plenty of canceled guys on shows. He was not one of them.
I know. I know. It was a who's who of canceled people that shouldn't be in a ring. Odyssey Jones. Did you?
Marty Scurll.
Marty Scurll there also. I'm like, what are you doing there? You should be in jail. What are you doing?
Well, it's Vegas. It's Mania Week. What happens?
It's the land of the canceled. I tell you what. I YouTube channel.
I had not heard Marty's name in, I'm not sure how long, until Brian had mentioned it.
Yeah. I mean, our YouTube is filled with the land of the canceled.
Right.
I tell you what. It's something, man. I said,
take it for what you want. Marty's show also involved adult entertainers at that show. So, you know, it's par for the course.
Over or under 18?
I think over.
You think?
Yeah, this is still, yeah. Hey, look. I understand there aren't many rules in Vegas. There's still some. I mean, come on.
It's Marty Scurll, man. Whoop, whoop. Uh-huh. And very strange. I have nothing written down for War Raiders and New Day outside of just congratulating New Day for winning the championships.
It happened.
I wish watching the video that they did before the match, I just wish they'd have done this sooner.
You mean the package that almost forgot War Raiders were part of the match? Like, it was the whole New Day thing. Like, oh yeah, War Raiders, they're in this match also. Like,
well, yeah, but like the package was also mostly like them turning on Big E, which happened 4 months ago, right? Like they didn't capitalize on that is my point. Like, the New Day kind of went away for a while and then they tried to heat them back up. Like, you could have done this and they could have been champs coming into this thing, but
part of me got my hopes up when they rewound the clock that much that maybe we would have saw Big E and War Raiders win because of that. Because otherwise they've dropped the ball on that turn.
It's a good finish. It's a good finish. And War Raiders, by the way, friends of Good Karma Wrestling now.
Yeah. That's my big takeaway of the show. They were really fun to chat with yesterday. Yeah. Or 2 days ago. I don't know what day it is anymore. Sorry.
so that's fine. But, you know, all in all, though, I would say that what we saw, Gabe, I felt like it was a B+. Mm. I think that the main event and the Tiffy Charlotte match helped. As I mentioned, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed Fatu and LA Knight. Thought it was a very good night one for the company.
It was solid. Look, I think it was, and we talked about this on Thursday. Tough to follow up last year's WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really solid over the course of both nights. And when a lot of this card is filled with matches that don't necessarily belong, I think it's going to be tough to really have that WrestleMania feel. We talked about this on Thursday. If you happen to miss it, go back and watch our show, our WrestleMania preview show that aired on Thursday, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. And, you know, we thought we could kind of trim it down to an 8-match really good WrestleMania card. And again, I think that showed kind of at different points tonight. I hope that, you know, we can maybe pick up a little bit of momentum tomorrow. I think obviously the main event of WrestleMania being tomorrow with Cena and Cody, with last night making things really interesting with Cody being booed. Found that very interesting. Very curious to see how that continues in front of the WrestleMania crowd tomorrow night. I think there are a lot more interesting things happening tomorrow that I think can maybe help pick things up for WrestleMania. Although one of them, a curious thing with them going with the injury angle earlier today, and now Lyra Valkyria needs a new tag partner because Bayley is out. You know, there are reports out there that this was the creative plans all along. Still can't help but feel for Bayley. Like, she got shoehorned into this angle. It's like, okay, she got shoehorned in, but at least Bayley's going to be on the WrestleMania card. And now she's not going to be on the card at all because she's not legitimately hurt. And this is just a part of the creative angle. And it can't help but feel for Bayley at this point to be shoehorned into not a great angle to begin with and then be taken off the card completely.
And that's also after a few weeks ago where they had the Roxanne Perez sort of story possibly there for her and they just dropped that.
And you saw Bayley on the indie circuit, right?
Oh, I saw her multiple times just as a fan, just hanging out.
Well, she's also like
her and Willow backstage.
Yeah, I saw that. That went viral. Those two, like the two baby faces, like for each company. So I'm clear. She's off the card because creative is going to slip someone else in there. Like who? Chelsea?
Becky.
I mean, Becky's the one that makes sense because they have the history and they're both Scottish.
So you're going to have two of the, like, the
Irish, excuse me. Tomorrow. They're both Irish.
Because you have the match tomorrow also. So you have both, like, the mystery things are going to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine. Give us some sights and sounds, Brian. What surprised you as you were there live at Allegiant Stadium?
It was loud. I mean, the crowd was sort of dead for different parts. I mean, it's a very big venue, so I feel like at times you lose stuff if not everyone's into it.
That was my question, because it kind of felt like that at times on TV where it's like, okay. But again, when you're in the big football stadium, sometimes some of them just don't hold the sound that great. And I know wrestlers have talked before for some of the big shows, it's like tougher to react to the crowd versus being in, you know, a basketball arena that holds the sound better than a big football stadium that's, you know, not going to necessarily hold it as well.
Because that's the thing, like, when everyone was into it, which you got those moments where you got Jey Uso, you got the main event stuff, like, you hear it. It is very loud in that situation. There were very few empty seats. They really packed this place in. So overall, I think it was good. But, I mean, to your point, Hood, like, the show was just whatever. I think you saying B+ is sort of generous. Like, there wasn't a lot to get into. I saw a tweet earlier, I'll give him credit. Joe Gagne, he says, "You've heard of the Raw after WrestleMania. Can I interest you in the Raw during WrestleMania?" Because that's sort of what tonight felt like at times.
I think I felt like it was a ramp up, right? It's like it was kind of like whatever it was at the earlier, but then I think as the show built, I thought it was better like that. Like it was, but here's the difference. And this is why when you watch a WWE with AEW eyes, you're looking for like banger, banger, banger for like 12 matches. This is more of a ramp up to the main event, WWE traditionally style. That's why they do it.
But the problem is they started with probably their highest high and then followed it up with War Raiders New Day. Like it just, so like you went from the roller coaster up here all the way down. And yes, after that, you had to ramp it back up. But even then, even if you were more of a fan of the main event than I was, like it probably didn't reach the high of Jey Uso. Mm-hmm. And it makes me, I understand you wanted to give CM Punk that. And again, there's intrigue and there's things that you can ask. Why, Paul? Why? But I wonder if they should have flipped those. I really do. After seeing it, and I know you wanted to get Punk as main event, I wonder if it would have been better off with Jey in the main event.
New Day and War Raiders. That's the let me up match, pal. That's the way Vince used to book it, right? Go to the bathroom. Come on back for more. That's the way it was. But you know what? Our YouTube has been great, guys. And thanks to our MVP again for WrestleMania, Brian Rowitz, YouTube.com. Look for Good Karma Wrestling. If you're on it right now, just peruse it, because we're talking about interviews with Stephanie Vaquer, with Ricky Saints. Saints.
Some of us know his new name. Some of us don't.
They the sound the same.
The War Raiders. We got WrestleMania.
There's an S and a T in there somewhere.
WrestleMania / indie coverage as well from all the shows that you went to, Brian. So it's all there. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe everything we do here on YouTube.
Before we sign off for the evening, and just a reminder, we will be back again with a live show tomorrow night after WrestleMania. We will be back live on Monday after WrestleMania as well, on the Raw after WrestleMania. What is the best show that you have seen?
So WrestleMania was show number 10 for me tonight. Prestige, which I saw on one of the days. Out of the Northwest, Darby, Nick Wayne, Swerve all came out of there. That was the best show that I saw. Kevin Blackwood versus Leon Slater. Phantasmo versus Oku. Tag match, honestly never heard of any of the guys before. But Sinner and Saint versus Lyko's Jim. Hell of a match. And then biggest spectacle, Sabu's final match last night. That was very entertaining. It included him having a chair thrown at him and him just waving it off and going to hug Joey Janela saying he didn't want to do this anymore.
Oh my God.
He just took it, goes, no. And he goes, hug. And Janela told him to back off and he was going to effing kill him. So very entertaining. As far as I know, Sabu survived. It wasn't quite Flair bad in terms of death.
Are you sure he survived? From some of the highlights I saw, I'm not sure if he did.
He took one bump into a bed of barbed wire where he was definitely stuck and had a hole in his back by the end of the night. But hey, farewell, Sabu.
That's unbelievable. And a white suit, by the way, right?
Yes.
White suit.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, come on. You got, I mean.
Do you? That, oh, do right? you? Like, yeah. You have to wear a white suit because it's Easter tomorrow. Yeah. That's why you got to wear your white suit. Yeah.
Yeah. And the red pops a little more on the white.
Got to have the white suit. at that age in the ring. Got to have it. Yeah, I think he wore that just in case he might have died and got buried. So he has a suit on, so he's perfect.
Which is, again, nice little backup.
I also found a new guy that might be pizza guy, Orange Cassidy level. Dan the Dad, shout out to him, wrestles with a cup of coffee in his dad gear. At one point, he yelled at someone who's on the top rope to get down from there because he was ruining their vacation. It was some good stuff.
That's so good.
That's so good.
You know, just when you think you've come up with every gimmick in 2025, somebody's able to come
shout out Dan the Dad.
Cup of coffee.
Yes.
I'm sure Brian is going to be effortlessly working to try to get Dan the Dad on TKW. My guy.
I don't know what I'm just looking at the local news here in Chicago, the ABC 7 News. And the sportscaster Dion Miller just showed highlights of NXT.
Oh, that was a good show.
That's fine, but we just got off of WrestleMania. If you're gonna do jazz hands at the end of the news, if your water skiing squirrel is gonna be wrestling, how about WrestleMania? What the hell was that? All right, TV off.
Their post show still going. All right.
Hood's got an early morning. You can catch him tomorrow morning. Busted Open Radio, Sirius XM, 9 until noon. Hoodie will be giving more of his opinions there. And then we'll be giving more opinions later. Again, tomorrow night, WrestleMania after GKW after WrestleMania. Sunday should be an exciting match, especially with John Cena and Cody Rhodes in the main events. So come back tomorrow right here
on GKW.
Bye, Allegiant.
Bye.